The number of women in corporate leadership and management positions is slowly improving, but there's a long way to go, according to a top economist who's in the business of boosting women in power. Amanda Ellis is the founder and past chair of the Global Banking Alliance for Women, and she's currently a visiting fellow at the East-West Centre in Hawaii. Ms. Ellis has been in Sydney as part of the Vital Voices Partnership, where Bank of America launched a program to nurture women leaders from business, social enterprise and non-government organisations. She's putting a particular focus on promoting women, not necessarily in the boardroom, but in the areas of sustainable development and dealing with climate change. Amanda Ellis caught up with the ABC's senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan.
I think it's very interesting to look at how things have changed in Australia from 2000, when there were just over 8% of women on ASX boards, to around 24% today. And it's what I call targets with teeth, where it's not actually a quota, but where if you're not meeting the targets, you'll get a letter from the stock exchange saying, why not?
But so often those letters do arrive and the stock exchange undertakes their audits, but all too often we seem to find that companies have the policies, but they're not actually following through where it counts.
I agree with you. You need the policies, but you actually need the practical programs to help turn those policies into an actual progression for women.
But are you feeling encouraged that the representation of women is changing?
I think it depends very much on the tone at the top. I interviewed Martin Parkinson from Prime Minister and Cabinet, and it was a fascinating conversation. And he said to me, look, there are really three different takes on this, Amanda. It's not about men changing things for women or fixing things for women. It's not about men fixing the structures for women. It's about men and women working together to change the system. So you can see there's been a shift. It certainly needs to move a little bit faster. But when you compare it to our cousins across the Tasman, Australia's doing better.
So often when it comes to the representation of women, we think about boardrooms and high-profile management positions. For example, Catherine Livingstone's just been appointed as the first female chairman of the Commonwealth Bank. That's important, of course, but is change trickling down?
Research done by a fellow at the East-West Centre who is from the Peterson Institute showed that if you have more women in the C-suite and on boards, those companies are likely to have a 6% higher return. So the tone at the top and the number of women at the top does matter, and we've got the data to show that it actually makes a commercial difference. Now, the other dimension that you've so rightly pointed out is it's not just about trickle down. It's actually about making sure that you have the work going on in the pipeline to ensure that women are able to come through. That may be gender blind obstacles, like senior meetings being called at 7 o'clock in the morning, for example. So how do we dismantle some of those obstacles and some of the bias, which is often unconscious bias, so that we can work both the top end and the bottom end and remember that the middle really matters?
You've also been looking at empowering women in sustainable development. What are the big areas where women are breaking through?
There's some fantastic young women entrepreneurs coming up. And example, Brianne West is a young scientist, and she was absolutely horrified that 50 million plastic bottles, shampoo and conditioner, were thrown away last year, went into landfill just in New Zealand. And she's from Christchurch, where they had the big earthquake. And she said, my goodness, what can I do to change that? Realised that 90% of the product was water, and there's water in your shower anyway, and came up with the idea of solid shampoo and conditioner bars, along with a whole range of other fabulous products, called her brand Etique, because it's ethical. And she was recently picked up by Britney Spears on Facebook and went from a $200,000 turnover last year to a $1.2 million turnover this year. She's already saved 100,000 plastic bottles, and all of her products are completely cruelty-free, no testing on animals, and she has certified Forest Corp packaging, so everything is totally biodegradable. I would never have thought of the idea, but I am loving using those products and loving seeing these brilliant young women entrepreneurs solve sustainable business problems through actually creating a solution that seems really obvious when you think about it, but it's now a new idea that I hope will catch on like wildfire.
You're also looking at women examining ways to tackle extreme poverty and climate change by 2030. Are women taking a greater role in that area, and would they do a better job than men anyway?
Andy Tafunai from Samoa has the only global contract with the Body Shop for virgin coconut oil, and she is both sustainable because it is a virgin product, but she is also helping families stay in rural areas by giving them access to global markets. So this is the kind of out-of-the-box thinking that is both good for the environment, good for people at the bottom of the pyramid, and good for social change.
So promoting greater diversity is very good for the economy. Are we seeing that in tangible ways?
You're seeing some of the big companies like Unilever, for example, committing to have 5 million women in the supply chain by 2020. So I think that there are big companies now who are recognising the power of partnership. How is it that they reach down and include those individuals who are out there coming up with innovative, diverse ideas and including a much greater catchment in solving these big problems?
Amanda Ellis, a visiting fellow at the East-West Centre in Hawaii, speaking with our senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan.